Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Hollywood, it's rated LGBT Radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Hello, hello, hello. Good afternoon, good evening, good day, whatever time you happen to be listening to our wonderful podcast. We're welcoming you here. I am Rob Watson, and this is Rated LGBT Radio. This is the full hour show with the fabulous Julia Scotti. We had kind of a little bit of a short false start teaser show that we just recorded, which you may find in our playlist. It's got some important news items, but this version will have nothing but the fabulous Julia and the fabulous Brody Levesque. So I'm going to bring them right on, right away. Julia and Brody, welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, show us, interrupt us.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the podcast version of, oh no, my cell phone is running out of battery. Oh no, we forgot to pay the electric company. But right now we've got a full stream just sitting there waiting for us to catch up with Julia.
Full stream problems usually kind of a prostate issue, but my stream.
Our prostates are full and ready to go here.
Well, I'm glad we got this up and running. Thank God you guys weren't in charge of the moon landing. We'd have never seen the Neil Armstrong. Is he down? Did he land?
Well, to be fair, we would have seen him, but it would have been like, Neil, it's 9 minutes. We'll get back up here now.
Neil, you want to climb up the stairs and come down again, babe?
There we go.
Show me that you mean it. Show me you mean it. All right, I'm sorry. Hijacking the show, but I'm not going to.
We're giving you the full reins. Hijack away.
Oh, that's a mistake. Always a mistake.
So, Julia, how much material has the impeachment hearings given you?
How much agita or how much material?
Material.
I only do stick on the impeachment on my Facebook page. I don't do it in live show because they will kill you. The audiences will kill you. They will kill you. And so I only do it. But it's an endless source of humor. Matt Gaetz.
What?
Matt Gaetz alone is enough to,
Definitely. The distinguished gentleman from Florida is like just, I think, a nonstop source of irritation, not just for Democrats, but for anybody who can think, period. I mean, who can.
He's another little fat spoiled kid. This is a kid who's spoiled. You can always tell when somebody comes from money because they got this attitude, it's like if people who drive BMWs, it's the same attitude. I can do anything I want, and nobody can stop me. Ugh, don't get me started. Don't get me started, guys.
Well, before we do, I know about this, but why don't you tell our listeners and Rob about Showtime, because I think this is really cool.
Do I get like a fanfare? Do-do-do-do-do.
Breaking news.
Back in October, we shot a special for Showtime. Great Carol Montgomery is producing a show called Funny Women of a Certain Age. And it was, let's see if I can remember everybody, Caroline Ray, Tammy Pescatelli, Carol Leifer, come on, Julia, and one other person whose name will come into my head, Thea Vidal and Carol, and was all of us on the same show doing our stand-up, and it was just a killer show, and it airs in March on Showtime, so check your local listings or whatever you check.
Fantastic.
So, Julia, what is the cornerstone of your what is the cornerstone of your show right now? What do you feature? We were treated to your version of the Titanic from America's Got Talent.
I've matured a little bit since then. Not much, but we're getting ready actually to do another album, so I'm putting material together for it. I'm doing a whole chunk on being transgendered, which I really touched on earlier, but now that I'm a superstar comedian, kind of a household name. I've decided. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, is that a departure for you? Because when you and I first talked, we kind of determined it was important to, you know, you're a stand-up comedian who happens to be transgender. Are you
right.
moving that needle a little bit more to identity comedian?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, just being transgendered is part of who I am. I talk about every other aspect of my life, and this is one that I haven't really explored that much, and I'm comfortable enough now to talk about it in the way that I want to, you know. I'm not afraid to put it out there anymore. It's all part of. I talk about getting older now, which I never did before. So the type of stuff I am exploring is stuff that's really personal to me. But apparently everybody else, because they're responding to it.
Well, that, how can they not? I mean, it's you. So
I'll give you an example. This actually happened. Some guy, when I was transitioning, came, a friend of mine, he goes, very condescendingly says, why would you want to become a woman? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, because my salary's too high. You know, what a stupid question. It's that kind of stuff, you know.
Do you find, as you're talking about the transgender experience, that people try to connect with it inappropriately? Like because I know a lot of times with humor, when a comedian's telling you a joke, it's like you try to get in on the joke. It's a very unique experience. I mean, how are people tying in with it?
They're great. Nobody's jumping on that, you know, trying to make it funnier than it is. They're really laughing along with me because there are some funny things about it. I talk about how when you're trans, you can't hide. It's not like being gay. You know, you can stay in the closet if you. I said I could have done gay standing on my head, you know, which would have made me really popular with the men. But you know, but if you're gay, if you're trans, you have to come out. I mean, you show up at work one day in heels and a skirt, people are gonna notice. You know, does Bob look a little different to you today? You know. So I want to sort of make that the trans experience. I want to put it out there so that people can relate to it and go, you know, I never thought of it that way. Let me look at it that way. So, yeah, I forgot your question, Rob, but I went off on a tangent.
That's right. I was too busy laughing. I forgot it, too. So we'll have to roll back the tape and figure it out.
Thank God for that.
No.
Yeah, well, wait.
I think you answered it. So, Joe, one thing, just and this is a generalization, so forgive me for that, but one thing that has come up in a couple of discussions, Katie Couric did a special on the transgender experience, and she interviewed a younger millennial person who had transitioned and an older person who had transitioned, and there was a real disagreement between the two of being gender fluid versus a kind of a binary in the transgender experience where you are male or female. Where do you come down on that discussion?
I've given this a lot of thought because I'm never going to be 100% female. and I'm never going to be 100% male. I'm never. I'm going to be somewhere in the middle. I don't label myself. I just label myself as Julia. But you know, in order to get through the world, get through life, you have to assume one identity or the other. You know, so I, you know, the world recognizes me as female. So that's the identity I take. I think if you're going to go through life going, I'm gender fluid, I'm, you know, this, I'm that, you're going to give yourself a lot of spilkas, you know, and it's going to make your life difficult. Being trans is difficult enough. You know, just try and get through your life happy, you know, is the way I look at it now. I guess it's because I'm old and I'm near death.
Well, no, that was actually – that was the more useful, progressive answer. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then, thank you. I appreciate that. I got to add to that. I got to add to that. I get really a little ticked off at, you know, the kids for when they do that, you know, because they try to make me, well, make us older folks feel like we're out of the loop. And it's like, you know what? I was doing this when you were still, you know, not even a zygote, you know, just so don't tell me how to live my life or what to call myself. That's the way I look at it.
Right.
A zygote. That's what I said.
I you know, I just got this bizarre visual of the beginning of the movie, Three Men and a Baby, and you're the sperm and the lead.
That's right. That's what was that. Zygotes of America, listen up.
Along with the Beach Boys music.
Oh, man. Is that what they were playing? That's right, they did. Yeah. Oh, okay. Jesus.
I thought you met him every morning for coffee over at Wawa.
Oh, Jesus, yes. He's getting really popular, too. I'm surprised at how much he's caught on. You should explain to the folks.
Well, you need to explain. Yeah. This is a running gag that Julia does on her personal Facebook page, and it's hysterical. And well, I'll let you explain this because it's really pretty funny.
We have a chain of convenience stores in the Northeast called Wawa, W-A-W-A. They're great. Everybody loves them. And I go there religiously. So I came up one day with this idea, what if I bumped into Jesus and he was homeless outside the Wawa begging for money? So I do these little vignettes where she always runs into me, being the she, runs into Jesus at the Wawa. We have these conversations. And I've taken him sort of into the modern era where he speaks like, you know, he's, there's no V's and vows in his speech. It's just he's having problems just like the rest of us. And like today I put the Christmas edition up, and he's talking about how Peter and the other apostles are planning his surprise birthday party, you know. And and he's hoping they do the secret savior instead of the secret Santa, and stuff like that, you know. So there's some people have been responding. It's amazing how they respond to it.
I love it because it always harkens back to, I always get this visual of you walking into the Quickie Mart and you know, Jay and Silent Bob are standing out there and you look and nod at them as you walk by, and when you come back out,
yeah.
Jesus is there instead of Jay and Silent Bob. So it's like, you know.
Well, Jesus always hits me up for money or cigarettes or coffee or a sticky bun. He never lets me go just go into the store. I got to feed him too. So. But basically the character sticks with the principles that Jesus lived by. You know, love your neighbor, take care of the poor, do what you have to do. So he stays very true to his core values, which is why I think people like it so much.
I agree with that. Yeah, you could always kind of maximize your time with him and just go buy, you know, big bottles of bottled water, let him turn it to wine, and then split the difference with him.
Well, I think we did that joke already in an earlier episode. See, it's never been established. Here's the thing about it. It's never been established if this is the real Jesus or some guy named Jesus who's absolutely out of his mind. So you never know for sure. And that's the way I like it.
Well, very good. Julia, I have to ask, what is your thoughts or commentary on the brief meme that went out a week or two ago of K-Boomer? K-Boomer.
Just refresh me, because I don't know that I even saw that one. What is it?
Okay, Boomer.
That thing. I had to ask somebody what that was. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're 12 years old and you're putting me down? Let me tell you something, dirtbag. I've seen way more in my 67 years than you'll ever know in your entire lifetime. And I get really pissed when can I say pissed?
Mm-hmm. You can say actually on our podcast you can say whatever the motherfucking thing you want to say.
Oh, okay. I just get really pissed, you know. Look, you're young, you're taking over the world, but you know, learn from the older people. Don't be such a douche nozzle. That's the way I feel. Does that answer your question?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, but you can't say douche nozzle on this. I'm sorry.
Douche nozzle.
Yeah,
that's
kidding.
My favorite thing to say.
I'm teasing. Totally kidding.
No, that's what I feel about.
So, what about hecklers? Do you get hecklers when you're performing live?
Well, I will after the show, yes. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm at this point now where I shouldn't even say this because I'll put the kibosh on it all, but I don't get them anymore. I never really got a whole lot. I got a bunch when I first started out, and it was mostly about how much I sucked. And it was hard to argue because I really did suck when I was a newbie comic, but not so much now, no.
Now, you did stand up before you transitioned, correct? I mean, this wasn't – yeah. So what – how does it feel being on stage as you in those two personas? What is the difference for you?
Okay, here I can tell you exactly. I actually can answer that question. When I was the person I was before, I was funny and I was a headline. I worked all over the country, but I always felt like something was not right and that I was hiding something. And I thought it was that I was gay and I wasn't. But there was this darkness about me. My friends will tell me there was a sadness about me. And I couldn't put my finger on it because really nobody knew about being trans back then. When I came back as Julia, the most liberating thing in the world, because I didn't have to hide anything anymore. And I had two criteria for my stand-up, and one was it had to be truthful and it had to be fearless. And those two things are what I've carried with me all these years back. And now it's like 8 years back now already. You know, that answer your question?
Oh yeah, no, that actually answered it fantastically. That was that's super inspiring.
Thank you,
Brody.
Yeah, one of the things that and I realize that it's kind of one of the things I don't think people realize, but you know, you've got the one album out, you got the Showtime special coming up next March. There's actually a documentary film being made about you, which hopefully we'll see one of these days. You know, you're a pretty hardworking, like most of your colleagues, comedian, and you spend a lot of time on there. And I don't think that, on the circuit that is, and I don't think that people really realize, you know, that there's a lot of work that goes into your craft, and there's a lot of traveling, and of course, it was a source of amusement. You did a show at it was either a restaurant or a steakhouse in Delaware that's got a really seriously funny name. And
Krabby Dick?
Yeah, that would be the one.
That's the one, yeah. Krabby Dick, yep.
Krabby Dick.
I got 5 minutes of ad-libbing about that name, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, you go on stage and talk about, you know, guillotine penises, and then you show up at a place called Krabby Dicks to do a show. I mean, come on, that's just gold.
Oh. Yeah, wait, you can't say I just talk about guillotine penises. Yeah, I have to do it in context, Freddy. Totally makes you sound like a psycho killer.
Well, okay, my apologies. I'll let you do the context.
It's a bit simple. It's about how guys, straight men, cis men, think that being transitioning, you're getting, quote, getting it cut off. You're cutting it off. Getting it cut off. Yes, that's like there's a little penis guillotine waiting for me, and then it goes from there.
Okay. In full disclosure, I have cringed three times now.
You have what?
I have cringed three times now.
Well, that's the other part of the bit. See, that's what whenever I start talking about this, guys will cover their crotches, like for that same reason, cringing. And I'm like, what are you afraid? What do you think a falcon is going to come down and snatch it from you? You know, like, ah, you know, walk it off of you. Don't cringe. It's not going to. It's not contagious.
Oh God.
That's
I forgot what I was saying now.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about scouring the program and looking for the disclaimer. You will leave this show intact. It's like,
yeah, it ain't nothing but a chicken wing on a string. It's just a, you know, it's not for everybody. I funny. I had a woman again. Another woman tell me a very quote religious woman said that I was slapping God in the face for what I was doing. I said, really? This was coming from a woman who had had ass implants, a breast implant, a nose job, a facelift, and an affair. And I said to her, well, if I'm slapping God in the face, you're kicking him in the balls. What kind of life are you leading?
Oh, God. Okay.
Next question.
Next question. Well, I mean, there was one thing I wanted to ask you, and it was only
sure.
because you've been on the program. I know you because, in full disclosure, you and I are really good friends, and we talk a lot on the phone.
Yes, we do. Uh-huh.
Talk to Rob and I just a little bit about what's going on over at NBC America's Got Talent with Gabrielle and her removal from the show. And, you know, comments that were directed at her about, you know, her hair was too black and then and some of the other issues that were surrounding it. I think a lot of people don't understand that there's a lot more to that show than what they see in the final broadcast. And I think it would kind of be nice to have someone who's actually been on the show kind of, you know, give us the parameters of that, because that's really struck a nerve with people, particularly.
Yes, first of all, we have to say that reality shows are anything but, you know, and they're all, everything is stagecraft. As far as Gabrielle Union goes, I understand that it is a boys' club, for one thing, I think. I didn't experience anything in the way of prejudice, other than the fact that I think it was more from the ageism than it was the fact that I was trans. And, they will never let an older person win that show. It'll always be some kid, you know, albeit a talented one. But as far as the pressure on women go, I heard things like that. Mel B was not shy about it, about
mm-hmm.
ever, you know. And she was my favorite person I'm dealing with, just because she's got a mouth on her boy like that. She's my kind of gal, you know. And so I can't imagine her getting pushed around like that, which is probably why she walked. I don't think she was happy there for a while. But it's hard to walk away from millions of dollars, you know?
I think that the thing, though, is that you brought up an interesting point. And it's one of the things that, you know, when you said about the boys' club, and I think that we're seeing this a lot, too. And even to some degree, we're seeing it within the LGBTQI community in terms of certain issues. And, you know, especially when it comes down to trans issues with trans women of color in particular.
Yep.
And then, you know, Bryn Tannehill, who we both know real well,
right.
And is a good friend of the show, and Rob as well. But Bryn and I were having a conversation about, and, you know, given the context of all the things going on now and, you know, what the Trump administration is doing in terms of the community, but even within the community itself, that there seems to be an erasure there with, you know, trans women of color and trans men. It's like trans men don't even exist. I mean, it's just like, you know,
yeah.
I would, you know, and it's just like, and we're hearing that, you know, sometimes that becomes an issue even in reality television, like America's Got Talent. And, you know, that does become a problem because then it does become an issue. And I think it's kind of important that, you know, we talk about these things. And
I
give your feedback.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No,
last November 20th, I was honored to be asked to be at a Trans Day of Remembrance ceremony. And at the end, you know, we always read the names and they show the pictures of these people. And I would say easily 90 to 93% of them were women of color that were either murdered or killed themselves. There's a reason why we're spending so much time talking about it. They're dying. You know, as far as trans men go, I know several trans men, and I think they assimilate better than trans women do. So I don't know that their issues are, and I don't mean to demean what they're doing, but I don't think their issues are the same as trans women's issues. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
I do.
My observation, obviously, from the outside is that if you follow kind of the track of misogyny, in society, that kind of follows, because, you know, from an ignorant perspective, transgender women look like quote unquote men who choose to be what society has undervalued, i.e., women. To the point of the joke that you cracked earlier about, yeah, why,
right.
You know, I suddenly wanted to make less money. I mean, it's sort of, you know, the undercurrent of that. Whereas,
but that's the point of the joke.
Trans
that's exactly
men,
why I wrote. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
That's why I
that
wrote
trans,
the joke.
Trans men seem to go the other direction. They seem to aspire along the lines that society's bias seems to fall. In other words, that they are perceived women that are aspiring or becoming, transitioning to being men, which is like society could see as underlying admirable. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I mean,
it's a step up. Yep. It's a step up. That's
yeah,
the way it's
yeah,
viewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also some of the science behind it with the, you know, the different hormones where transgender men grow beards and, you know, they're, that hormonally seems to transform physically in a way that is people buy into.
Yeah, I mean, it's tangible. You could look at somebody and go, holy crap, I would never have known you were a woman at one point because look at you, you know. And you know, they work out and they've got these buff bodies, and I mean, you know, the voice is there. It's all there. The beard's there. You know, by every measure that we use in a binary society, they look and act like men. You know, it's different
right.
For trans women sometimes. You know, although there were, God, you know, there were some trans women who pass undetected. You know, and we know, you know, the famous ones. So, it's a weird life, you know. That's why I put my head down, one foot in front of the other, and all I want to do is get through the day, you know, and just be the best me I can be. And if somebody's going to give me shit about being trans, I just don't want them in my life.
Julia, being the best you that you can be, if you were to do a sitcom a la like a Roseanne or another concept, what kind of character would you want to be? Would you want to play a cisgender woman? Would you want to play a trans woman? Would you not want to do a sitcom at all?
Oh, no, I would love to do a sitcom. I could go either way. I could be, again, that's the point of being trans. That's what we're trying to say as a group. You cast Felicity Huffman as a trans woman. Why didn't you cast a trans woman in? If you're going to redo the Golden Girls, let me be the Bea Arthur character. You know, I don't have to be trans. I could just be the Bea Arthur character. Yeah, you know, it's just...
Right.
I put all the stereotypes out of your mind and just look at the person for their talent. My audiences, when I'm on stage, my audiences, after like the first minute or two, don't give a shit that I'm trans. They care if I'm funny. That's what I should be judged on. And the same holds
right.
true for a sitcom.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I could see you doing, you know, the great granny, or, you know, it's like something that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could definitely see that. Of course, I am waiting for the day that you and, you know, your friends are, you know, sitting in a diner, you know, having coffee, and you get caught up in an episode of What Would You Do with John Quiñones. My colleague at ABC News. Classic.
Well, that'd be great. I would love to do that. Well, you know, I'm moving towards the TV stuff because of America's Got Talent and now Showtime. I've got two major credits going for me, and they're both this show that I'm doing for Showtime. I'm the first trans woman they've ever had on the show. You know, probably will be the only one there's one other woman I think they will use eventually, but she's too young, you know, right now. So I'm, you know, as long as I can continue to make inroads like that, I'm happy. I don't expect the world to change all that much, but you know, you win by little victories, and that's what I look at these as, little victories.
I think that's true. I mean, I really do. It's
Plus, I think there's an opportunity there because we have so many platforms coming up. There's, you know, Apple Plus TV now. There's Hulu. There's Netflix, and they're all kind of creating this original programming. A lot of time, the programming is much more specifically targeted than what was done before because they. If they can achieve a good niche market or niche audience, that, you know, that's what will propel them forward. Whereas before, you know, a network had to appeal more homogeneously
right.
to everyone.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no! I was just saying. I could definitely see that happening sooner than later for you.
Well, the cream rises to the top, and it doesn't matter what platform you're being seen on. And as evidence, I give you Mrs. Maisel. Look at how many Emmys did that show win last year? Ridiculous amount, because it's a great show. It's brilliantly written, brilliantly produced, and brilliantly acted. And people will find that, you know, no matter where it is, they will find a way to see it. So I think somewhere there is something out there for me, and somebody's going to wind up, some trans person's going to wind up in a leading comedy role at some point, you know, where they're not playing the victimized trans woman. You know, there's been enough of those. Just let me act. Let me be myself. And you'll be happy.
Right.
I'll be happy.
I think right there is a huge sellable concept. I mean, it's just, I think you should go for it. I don't know if you have seen the Netflix show, The Politician.
I have not, no.
Well, there is a young actor in that show. He plays a cisgender character but he in fact himself is transgender.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, and they don't highlight it. They don't anything. He's not one of the leads, but he is one of the major characters in the show.
That's great. Yeah, I don't know if you remember Jamie Clayton a few years back on was it Mad Men? She was on, I think. Do you know who I'm talking about? Jamie Clayton.
Yeah, I do.
And I don't think they obviously didn't talk about the fact that she was trans. And I met her. She's friggin' gorgeous. I didn't even know it. And so that's good that those things are happening. And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. The one thing that I found kind of interesting, because I've watched, been a big fan of Pose and Ryan Murphy's work there, that the one thing that I found sort of difficult was in the dialogue in the show, it talks about, a different character being sort of called out for not being passable enough. I mean, it's like, you look like a guy with a wig, or somebody says something like that. And the thing that is ironic to me is the person playing it does not look that way to me. It's like they look, I would not know that they were not cisgender women. But they are authentically cast by a transgender person. Right. And I just am wondering if depending on a character's place in their transgender path, how that would all work out. For example, would it be weird for you to get cast in a role where you had to actually portray your dead gender?
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I was talking to a friend of mine. I've been kicking around this idea of a one-person show, and the idea was that I would bounce back and forth from my old, what is it called? Like dead self?
Well, I called it dead gender.
Okay, whatever they call it, it's dead something. But I would be able to sort of play both parts. And sort of do, talk about how I got from there to here, and it excites me that I could do that. And I'm saying to my friend, how many cis actors could ever do that? None of them, because they don't have the experience. We're kind of blessed, that we've had both of those experiences. So, if somebody asked me to play, I would do it. I would have to look at it. If it was a good role, I'd consider it. Sure.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Brody?
Yeah.
I think, one of the things that I always like about, going in different directions, I think, is exposing folks to just the absolute normalcy of, who the trans community is, and that there really isn't all that much difference. They're people. And that this boogeyman voodoo, that we oftentimes hear more often than not from the Christian right, is just that. It's, them trying to, scare the grandmas so that the grandmas will stroke them checks for, whatever dollar amount so that they can keep in business to continue to scare the grandmas. It's like a, repetitive mm-hmm. cycle. But I think that one of the things that's really important is that, we're starting to see more of a positive portrayal, of the trans community in general, in all forms of media, and I think it's really critical that, we continue to promote the idea that the trans community is a vibrant part of the overall community of man, not just specifically our own little, corner of the world, as it were. And I think in many ways that, like I said, I've been a proponent of having you do a show for a long time. I think you do.
Yeah,
wonderful.
I know.
Okay. But I just.
Well, I talk about how we've been around for thousands of years. I talk about mm-hmm. how other cultures view us. And I'd say that even, Native American cultures revere us they, you know, refer to us as two spirits. And then I get my dig in on modern day, because they go, and in modern day culture, of course, we're simply known as, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
True.
It is true. So I'm making my social point. I'm getting the laugh. And people are going, you know what? She's right. So that's what I get excited about with my stand-up these days.
I think, and Julie, what are,
go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on, like, there are different transgender activists who are Republican and wanting to show up in the Republican Party. Not a lot of them, but there have been a few. And I don't know, quite frankly, I have not actually heard any commentary from them since the trans ban and all that sort of nonsense has come out.
Are we talking about
what are your thoughts
in particular?
No, actually, I'm not talking about that one, because that one person has actually backtracked and rejected her previous position. I'm
yeah,
thinking
it's a little,
more
it's a little
of,
late for that, but okay.
Listen.
If the Republican Party were the Republican Party I knew growing up, I probably wouldn't have that much of an issue with it, because everybody's entitled to their political beliefs. But this is not the Republican Party. This is some weird, almost neo-Nazi kind of, and I hate to use that because it's been an expression that's been hacked to death, but that's the only thing I could think of to compare it to. This is like the rise of Hitler in the 1930s. And if you don't think so, go back and read your history books.
Yeah.
So being trans and not being in the Republican Party right now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I think that Brody? Part of the problem, I think that part of the problem is that we're not getting the correct narrative out there. And I think that's really the biggest part of the problem. There's two things that, immediately come to mind. Number one is that I think people have a very preconceived notion of, what it actually means to be trans and what trans is. And then the other part of it, and Julia, you and I've had this conversation numerous times, and Rob and I've talked about this too. It everything seems to get reduced down to the penis and vagina argument. And,
sure.
The frame of thought that goes with that. And I think that one of the things that we need to do is we need to stop having that discussion. I think we need to start having, the discussion about who people are for themselves, not, necessarily, whatever label is going to be slapped on you because of whatever genitalia you're born with. I think that's, we've got to get over that. We've got to get past that point. And I realize that this is also an argument that could be had, in terms of full equality for the entire, acronym. But I think, particularly since the Trump administration has put the trans community literally at the end of the spear, they've done so many horrible things to the community I think it's really important that we do have these type of discussions. But I think the part of that would also be good is probably also looking at it from a perspective of, maybe there's got to be a better way of telling the story. This is one of the reasons I like the way you do it, when you're joking and having humor in part of the show, is because I think that, does a wonderful job of, illustrating just the humanity of the trans community. I mean, I see that as a better way of doing it. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I just put this new chunk into my act now about that, and it's about that very subject, about how straight men don't want to have sex with us because they think it makes them gay. But they're more than willing to have sex with fruit, vegetables, pie, a melon, a sock. It's like you're telling me I have issues? You fucked a sock. And that's why there's always one missing in the drawing. So I out, I think, by pointing out the craziness in what they do, it makes, you know, whatever craziness they think I have, they have to sort of shake their head and go, okay, she's right, you know. Like, I'll give you another example. There was a guy, I won't give his name, but in South Carolina, who got arrested for having sex with a horse, right? Now, wait, while he was on probation for having sex with a horse, the same horse, he got caught twice having sex with the same horse. And I'm like, and who says men can't commit? Yeah. but you have the nerve to tell me I have issues? Please.
That's pretty good.
That's great. That's awesome. Joe, as you've been more directed towards your transgender experience, what aha moments have you seen people have in reaction to you, where they may get it more than they did before?
At the end of the show, I always do meet and greets, and at this point in my career, most of the audience knows that I'm trans, so I don't have to. I still do the reveal anyway because there are some that don't. And every now and then, not as often as before, but every now and then people come up and go, you know what, I just would never have known. And thank you for opening up my eyes a little bit more. So those are the kinds of things I hear. And I feel like every time I go out there on stage, if I can open up their heads a little bit more, I'm doing the Lord's work here, you know.
Right. Yeah. What would you, if you were crowned queen of the transgender population of America?
I would vote for, by the way.
Okay, let me rephrase that question. As the duly noted queen of the transgender population of America, I stand corrected. What is your vision for said population? What is your advice to deal with the world as it is right now?
It's a great question. If I had to, I would tell people two things. Live your life for yourself and not what other people think of you. If you're happy, then you're winning. The other part is, politically, we need to be a force to be contended with. We need to unite. We can't be arguing about, pronouns that we're supposed to use towards ourselves or what gender we are. The world looks at us like a freak show. We need to show them that we're not, and we need to be united. And I see that happening to a degree. But I see fractionalization, within our own community. Basically what Brody mentioned earlier about the kids, that boomer or whatever the hell it was. We can't do that.
Yeah, to that end, one thing that has been going on a lot in the kind of the spectrum of the LGBT and even the progressive movement itself is kind of an unforgiving look back at the past, where people who maybe today somewhat progressive or very progressive, they kind of pull the covers and go, 10 years ago you said this, and look at back then.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that look back? And then I've got a specific example I want to ask you about.
All right. Well, here's my look. If we weren't allowed to evolve, we'd still be dragging our knuckles and eating raw meat because we hadn't discovered fire yet. Come on, man. I'm being like Joe Biden. Come on, man. If somebody's consciousness has been raised, great. That's my answer to that.
Yeah. Well, the specific I wanted to ask you about, I've been kind of binge watching the Friends television series, which I watched avidly when it was on first run. I mean, it was like, I had to see
it.
At the time,
yes. I know the episode
well,
you're
well,
going
let me say
for,
it for everybody
ahead.
Else. I know we're on the same page here. But at the time, I thought that it was amazingly progressive because it, you know, it dealt with things. It dealt with, you know, straight men's complete insecurities over anything gay, et cetera. Looking back now, it looks really archaic and dated and homophobic and transphobic. Kathleen Turner played, and at the time they defined her as a gay man who kind of lived her life in drag. Today we look at it and go, she's transgender. What are your thoughts on that portrayal and thumbs up, thumbs down on how Friends treated it?
I would be remiss if I didn't put that in the same category with The Birdcage, because you could say the same about Nathan Lane's, you know, right? Do you think you could?
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Probably. Yeah, I think at least in Birdcage, there was at least a somewhat of a depiction of being out of drag,
right?
You know, off stage somewhat. Yeah.
Okay. So getting back to Friends, I think for the time it was less progressive, and to their credit, you know, Chandler came around, which I thought was the right way to handle that. You know, having grown up, it was probably very embarrassing for him. But at the time of, was it their wedding? I think that's what it was, right? When he married Monica.
Right.
God,
right.
I know way too much about that show. Kathleen Turner was, she was welcomed into the proceedings. So, it again, people evolve, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, no, thank you. I agree. Brody?
Well, what's your part of the Westboro Baptist Church?
Church, there's no evolution with those people.
No,
it's tough to a screaming halt
there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I think in some cases we're kind of hoping that Darwin's theory takes hold. When you're looking at these issues and – you know, I talk to young trans people all the time, and the biggest thing that I hear from them is acceptance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's my personal mantra has always been acceptance without exception. In other words,
right.
That's it. That's the bottom line. I think that part of this, too, is that we need to really work on fostering a much better way of getting the politicians and policymakers, and more importantly, school officials to see trans kids and trans people, okay, in a completely different way. I had, just yesterday, the young man from Florida went in to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals to argue once again that, you know, the school district shouldn't have a right to tell him which bathroom he can pee in, you know. And at the base of it, it does become a little ludicrous that here we are in 2019 and we're still arguing over bathrooms. And a month before that, you know, you and I mentioned to each other in that phone call the case of that school district down in Florida that had actually put into place a trans positive policy for the bathrooms. And then after an extremely disruptive school board meeting a week later, rescinded it. So
yeah.
I think these are the conversations that we need to have. And I think it's got to be one of the things where, you know, funny or not, but we do have to talk about this in terms of acceptance without exception. I mean, this exclusionary rule, you know, and unfortunately, it is kind of also, you know, an American trait. It's kind of a global trait in other Western cultures as well. But, you know, we need to really get past that point, I think. Rob?
Yeah, and Julia, one thing that, I mean, it occurred to me while Brody was speaking about that, do you feel that coming out at a later age afforded you a degree more acceptance than, say, a teenager meets when they come out?
Oh, it's apples and oranges because, you know, I come from a different generation, too, where nobody understood what the hell I was doing.
Right.
You know, and don't forget, this was 20 years ago, too, when the word trans wasn't even – nobody knew what the hell it was. I just want to take a step back to Brody's point. Like the civil rights movement, this is a generational thing. As generations, you know, come down the pike, each one will have less and less prejudice in their souls, I think, because you'll always have small amounts. But I think all of those things will melt away. But it may take, you know, 50, 60 years, just like it did with the civil rights movement. I mean, you know, Rosa Parks, what was she, 1957, 58? But here we are, almost 60 years later, things are still not right. They're a lot better. So I think the same holds true for trans people, just like it did with gay people, you know. You guys have a couple of generations on us. And you've made some incredible strides. But there was a time, and Brody, you remember this, where you could be thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Stonewall was the result of that. So I'm hopeful that over, you know, in the next, I won't live to see it, but I'm hopeful that it'll happen. You know, we'll be there someday.
Well, Julia, I want to thank you very much for being on with us today. Actually being on twice since we had an extra few minutes on the preview version of the podcast. We are down to our final few minutes here. What question haven't we asked that you'd like to get off your chest?
Everything. I mean, I'm happy. That's all that matters. I'm happy. I don't have anything on my chest except vote. Vote November. Vote these people out, please, for the love of God. Vote them out. That's all I gotta say about that.
Well, I think that says it all. So, and you make us happy, so I'm really glad you could spend the time with us. Brody, thank you for all you do. Do you have any final words for Julia?
No, other than, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, your career is still very much in an upward trajectory. Why don't you do a quick blurb about the one CD you have out now so that people could get it for the Christmas stockings. It's a brilliant CD.
Sure.
Julia,
yeah.
I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, it's called Hello Boys, I'm Back. It's on Uproar Records. You can download it on any streaming service, and it's on all of them. You can go to my website and find out how to get it, Julia Scotti, SCOTTI.com. And we're coming on the road in 2020. I'm going to be in Washington State, going to be in Texas. So if you go to my website, you'll find my schedule up there, and I hope I see you.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for being on, and thank you, Brody, and thank you to our listeners. We very much appreciate you. Also, listen to Out in Santa Cruz on Saturday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear that on www.ksco.com. For Brody and myself, we will be back here again next week with another podcast. Have your friends subscribe to our podcast, and then they'll be sent right to you. We appreciate you so, so very much. And with that, have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio.